Hey, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. We got the Phillies struggles to talk about. We got another slumping player, not along the lines of Trey Turner, but it's starting to look like that. Last night I called for him to get a day off, and it looks like today he'll get that day off. So we got the Phillies to talk about. We're going to jump into this DeAndre Hopkins mix because I've thought about it quite a bit over the last week that it's become known that he's going to be available. And I can't even believe that this is what I've landed on, but yet here I am. Also, just a couple of days ago, news broke that, a very controversial Philadelphia Philly will be making it into the Phillies Wall of Fame. We'll get into that conversation. And of course, we got some more things to talk about when it comes to Nick Nurse. And now I'm starting to get a little curious. Why hasn't there been a formal announcement yet that the Sixers have made this hire? I mean, it came from Woj. It's not like some scrappy reporter or something like that. It came from Woj. So I'm eager to see when the news actually breaks from the 76ers that they made this hire. So we have all that and more to discuss on today's Farzy Show. Let's get things underway. Happy June, everybody. This is the month a lot of people have been waiting for the Philadelphia Phillies. This is the month that they really turn it on, right? This is the month that they really turn, not only turn their season around, but obviously a different individual Phillies turn their seasons around. Like a guy like Kyle Schwarber, for instance, who hit, 11 home runs last June. This is a season that is supposed to be, a good season. This is a season that you looked at before the year and said, wow. You got Aaron Nola. You got Zach Wheeler. You got Ranger Suarez. You added Taijuan Walker, who gets a start, by the way, today against his former team in the New York Mets. Andrew Painter at the back end of this rotation. Like, going into spring training, you were looking at the Phillies roster and, of course, adding Trey Turner to the lineup, and you were thinking this is going to be a special season. At least I was thinking it's going to be a special season. I mean, last year was a really special season. This year was supposed to be something even better. This season's been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Other than Bryce Harper, what has worked out for you? Like Bryson Stott did well in the second half of the season last year. Brandon Marsh did well in the second half of the season last year. Alec Bohm did well. Now he's got a hamstring issue. But of all the things, the only real optimistic thing that actually came true hasn't been anybody from the pitching staff. Obviously, it hasn't been Andrew Painter. It hasn't been Trey Turner. The only optimistic thing has been Bryce Harper coming back as early as he did from Tommy John surgery. And by the way, hitting over 300, hitting home runs, getting on base. That's been the only optimistic thing that you saw before the season. You went, well, maybe Harper comes back sooner rather than later, and maybe he's healthy when he does it. He's not just working his way into it for a month. That's been the only optimistic thing. So when I look at the Phillies right now, losing another series, their seventh straight to the New York Mets, and I look at the Phillies right now, five games under 500, and a pitching staff that has left a lot to be desired, and a lineup that has left a lot to be desired, and offseason acquisitions, most notably Trey Turner and Taijuan Walker, leaving a lot to be desired. That's why I think the Phillies are under 500. I mean, it seems like the individual guys pick different times to go through a slump, and right now it's like JT Realmuto's turn. But the thing is, you can't have guys batting as poorly in your lineup as JT Realmuto has over the last 11, 12 games, and as Trey Turner has been for pretty much the entire season. So that's concerning. When Cody Clemens gets his little spot starts at first base, he can't be your best hitter. When Eddie Sosa gets his starts at third base, he can't be your best hitter. This is wild to me. And the thing that really gets to me, and I've been focusing on the money a lot here, and it's hard not to because we've already focused on our own emotions enough, but $243 million have been spent on this Phillies roster. And you don't have a fifth starter. Who's the fifth starter now? Oh, the bullpen is the fifth starter. Cool. That's great. Things are trending in the right direction. And then you can't have guys that are not the top tier money making guys being the production guys. And Bohm has been a production guy, being your best hitter with runners in scoring position. And Mundo Sosa has had his big hits. Cody Clemens has had his big hits. $243 million and your guys making, you know, $500,000 are the guys that are really producing for this lineup. That is insane to me. Bryce Harper is the one exception. Nick Castellanos has, yes, had a better year than he had last year. I'd like the home runs to start happening again. They've been few and far between still. I know we got excited about Castellanos and Alec Bohm and their power numbers in the early goings of the season. Castellanos took a minute before he really turned it on, and now he's kind of back to the same spot. You're grasping at straws to find anything to hang on to when it comes to reason to have optimism in this Philly, or, you know, be optimistic at all about this Phillies team. And a calendar page shouldn't be the biggest reason you have confidence in the Phillies, because that doesn't mean anything. You're still in the same series. You're still playing the New York Mets. And the fact that now it's June 1st shouldn't matter. If it does, and this Phillies team just has the biggest mental block ever. Oh, it's not June yet, so you know, we don't really do anything yet. Hey, I hope that a turn of the calendar page, or in today's day and age, a swipe of the phone to June. I hope that has the power to really change things for the Phillies. I hope that because it's June 1st, this 1:10 start time today, I hope that this is going to be the moment the Phillies season really turns it around. You know what question got asked last night after this game? And we'll get into the game and the play-by-play of it, of course. But you know what game got asked? You know what was mentioned last night? What was mentioned last night was the term spiraling out of control. Spiraling out of control. I didn't know that until I woke up this morning and I watched Rob Thompson's post-game press conference, because I'm doing the Phillies post-game on Jacob Media, so I can't, you know, just... But hold on, guys. I'm going to go watch the press conference now, and I'll be back with you. That's not how it works. And Rob Thompson answered that question by saying this. Here's Rob Thompson after the game last night when he was asked about not allowing this season to spiral out of control.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's really, it's a different guy hitting every night. So it's not the entire lineup. It's not a group of guys hitting. So, we're just going through a tough time. We just got to keep battling and grinding. I don't think there's a secret pill or anything take. You know, it's just, they got to keep fighting, keep grinding.
$243 million, and there's no special elixir, huh? There's no special elixir you can drink. There's no pill you can pop to make you a better baseball player, make you a better hitter, anything. Make it run faster. Take this pill. JT Realmuto has 3 hits in his last 12 games. He's batting .083 in his last 12 games. Trey Turner ends the month of May by hitting .207. Phillies finished 10-16 in the month of May. I don't see an end in sight simply because it's June. I don't see any reason for optimism. Here's your only reason. Like, if you're really, again, grasping at straws, is that Trey Turner's been a better baseball player than this. Kyle Schwarber has been a better baseball player than this. Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Taijuan Walker, Ranger Suarez. They've been better players than this. They can't be this bad forever, right? That'd be insane. They'll turn it around at some point. Well, sure, but then maybe that's Nick Castellanos and Bryce Harper's time to slump. I mean, if you want to just say for no reason that this team could all of a sudden play better, well, they can also play worse. Because we were watching to the first month of the season, Trey Turner bat .260. And we're like, can't get any worse. .207. It got 60 points worse. It got way worse. Very worse. And I've said this before, but when a baseball team's bad, man, your summer sucks. It just drags and drags. And I know we had a little bit of a break there because the Sixers, we were paying attention to the Sixers and the Eagles with the draft and the Phillies come out and they're still Another slow start. Five games under 500 in the first 2 months of the season. They get Bryce Harper back, and they're a worse baseball team. They get a more productive player in their lineup, and they're worse. And pitching has been more consistently bad than it's been consistently good. And last night was no exception. And if you look at last night's game, oh, my goodness. Give me a little bit of hope that the optimism you have for June is warranted. The Phillies unable to do that. Second inning, they get the the third inning, they get the home run from Edmundo Sosa. And by the way, first two innings of Aaron Nola's start, 20 pitches to get through the first two innings. Looked like he was cruising, looked like he had command of his fastball. His knuckle curve was dropping in there for strikes, getting guys swinging and missing at that. He looked like he, all right, 20 pitches is Aaron Nola cruising. You get a little run support there from Edmundo Sosa in the third inning. He gets the home run. And I did think it was a good metaphor, that home run for the Phillies, where it was like, yeah, you're going to get this home run, but it's barely going to be a home run. And it was a home run by like 6 inches over the orange line at the top of the wall at Citi Field. Then what happens? You fail to get a shutdown inning. And what really happens after Eddie Sosa puts you up and Mundo Sosa gets the solo home run, Aaron Nola takes to the hill in the bottom of the third inning. Four-pitch walk to Vogelbach. Now, Vogelbach's on the bases. He goes up there and just floated a cutter high in the zone to Canna, and he just belts it. Left center field, two-run home run. Now, all of a sudden, not only do you not have a shutdown inning, you're losing the ballgame 2-1. He then gets out of the inning pretty much unscathed. Fourth inning, Schwarber grounds out to the second baseman. Real Muto gets up there. He strikes out looking. He just looks absolutely lost at the plate. I mentioned his numbers earlier. Brandon Marsh ends up flying out to center field. And then in the bottom of the fourth inning, you get into a bases-loaded two-out situation. Canna steps up to the plate. Two-run single. You're now down 4-1. Canna, their eight-hole hitter, mind you, four runs batted in last night's ballgame. Phillies couldn't do anything after that. There was one particular instance in this game that I thought if the Phillies were going to show any signs of life, it was, I want to say it was the fifth inning. It was the fifth inning. And Cody Clemens steps up to the plate and gets a single, a second hit of the ballgame. Sosa then comes up to the plate in the fifth inning. It's a 3-1 pitch, takes a ball right over the heart of the plate, a sinker that Carlos Carrasco just floats over the plate, and he takes it, a 3-1 pitch. He just takes it. And I thought that ball should be in the stands again. Like, Sosa's have two home runs here. He should put that ball in the gap. Maybe you get a run to score from first, depending on where it can go in the cavernous Citi Field. But he takes it. He ends up lining out. Now, they end up, I don't know if they had the hit and run on, but Clemens takes off from first. So Clemens, who led off the inning with a single, takes off from first base. Sosa lines out to Francisco Lindor at shortstop. Clemens is now on second base, so there's no chance he's going to be able to make it back to first. And Francisco Lindor lofted the ball to first base. Baseball ethics, baseball code, that's a no-no. That's BS. That's just showing up the opponent for no reason. And he lofts the ball to first base, and it takes like three bounces to get to Pete Alonso at first base. And I think he even had to come off the bag to field the baseball. Like, that's just BS. Like, there's no reason for that. You're already up 4-1 in the ball game, and I know three runs is in the ironclad as a lead, but still, that's just BS. There's no reason to do that. And after that, I was like, there's no pitcher on this staff. Nola's not going to do it. Brogdon's not going to do it. Maybe if Alvarado's pitching, he does it, but he's still out. So who's the guy in this rotation? Who's the guy in that bullpen that's just going to send a message back? Hey, dude, that was BS. And by the way, Lindor, to end the inning, ended up making a phenomenal play anyway. But still, who is going to send a message like, that's not acceptable, you can't do that to us? And I thought about it. I was like, nobody. We're pushovers. Like, just show me some sign of life, Phillies, that you give a damn about what that guy just did. Because anybody who played baseball, growing up, that's, you don't do that. And the Phillies just went, well, there's nothing we can really do about it because we suck right now. So that's it. How about a little respect for yourself? That guy's trying to walk all over you. Oh, Philly's got bigger problems. They can't hit. They can't pitch. Now you want to throw at a guy like Lindor? I'm just not saying necessarily throw at him. Just let him know that that was BS. A little chin music. A little nice to meet you. Something like that. Of all the things I know that could drive you crazy, I watched that and I just went, no one's going to do anything about it. They just got shown up and I hate it. And no one's going to do anything about it. Like, can Bryce Harper pitch an inning? No, he can't. Obviously, that'd be a terrible idea. Maybe he'll throw his, I don't know. Anyway, that was just one more thing that really pissed me off. So I mentioned JT Realmuto last night. I mentioned him earlier. I mentioned his numbers. And you heard Rob Thompson just there talk about this team and where they're at right now in the season. And how do you prevent this from spiraling out of control? And there's no special pill. Well, he was asked about JT Realmuto's strikeouts. He was asked about JT Realmuto at the plate. And he was also asked about this team in general, about what they can do to bounce back when it comes to this offense and what they can do to bounce back really as a team. He talked about JT Realmuto here. He talks about the entire team after the game. Here's Rob Thompson afterwards.
Yeah, you know, timing's off. He'll get it back. He'll be off tomorrow. But he'll get it back, and you know, we'll give him a little breather tomorrow. He's been working a lot, grinding a lot. So,
how much do you think the struggles are wearing on these guys right now?
Because I think they're frustrated, sure, because they want to win. They care a lot, just like all of us, you know. And like I've said many times, sometimes you try a little bit too hard when things are happening. Guys try to put the entire team on their shoulders, and they just got to relax and pass the baton.
Just relax, just find that special pill and all will be right with the world. We'll be just fine and dandy, no problems whatsoever. Just gotta relax. Watching Rob Thompson, actually yesterday and then watching him today, his press conference after game one, I should say, after watching that and then watching him today. Here's my issue. He's never faced this situation before. Last year, he came in as the savior. Last year, 7 games under .500, he takes over. He comes in. There's a sigh of relief. Girardi's gone. New guy's in. This is our responsibility as a team, as players. This is now on our shoulders. We had Garrett Stubbs, who will get the start today behind the plate. We had Garrett Stubbs on the show last year, and he talked about Rob Thompson bringing a, quote, bleep you mentality into the clubhouse. Where's that now? This team doesn't look anything like, and I look, production aside, just, and I hate being the guy that reads body language, but like, does this team look like a team that is playing with fire? Does this look like a team that's being held accountable? I don't doubt that these guys give a damn. I think they take pride in their profession, but I don't see anybody that looks like they are willing to take a leadership role with this team right now, other than Bryce Harper. And you could say that, the numbers, of course he cares. Look at the numbers. It's just that Bryce Harper plays with that fire every day. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about watching Bryce Harper. That's one of the reasons I wanted him here in Philadelphia, is because you never had to doubt whether or not that guy wanted to win. That guy wants to win. I don't see anybody else playing with that fire. I don't see anybody else playing with energy. It just looks like a very flat line team. That's what we've been watching for the first 2 months of this season. And Rob Thompson was a savior last year. Rob Thompson was a hero last year. And now he is facing adversity, a good amount of adversity, for the first time in his managerial career. He's been a coach a long time, has never been a manager up until last season. And now he's a manager. And now, for the first time as a manager, he is really facing adversity. How's he going to respond to it? Does he have the answers? Because I know in the midst of a World Series run, in the midst of a playoff push, he was the guy that had the answers. He didn't need a lot of answers last year. The team responded. Now you need a lot of answers. How is he going to get this team to respond from starting out their year 5 games under .500 after 2 months? How is he going to get a guy like Trey Turner to respond after having an abysmal month of May? I heard Trey Turner after the game get asked about how he's not striking out as much. That's got to be a good feeling. Hey, you're still making outs, but not terrible outs. How you feeling? Well, I feel better. Okay. Where are the answers going to come from for this team? Does Rob Thompson have them? Does Kevin Long have them? Who's got the answers? Because I think the only people that can really answer this, the major problems for the Phillies, are the guys that are actually putting on the uniform, going out there and playing every day. That's it. I know you could roll out the maybes when you're searching and grasping for straws, when you're searching for optimism. Maybe Ranger has really figured it out. Maybe Aaron Nola has really hit rock bottom with back-to-back bad starts. Because before this, for Aaron Nola, it had been a bad start, good start, bad start, good start, bad start, good start, and then bad. Maybe this is rock bottom. Maybe Zach Wheeler's figured it out. Maybe Tywell Walker's figured it out. Yeah, okay. Maybe the month of June will swoop in and save us as Phillies fans. I don't know. I don't think so. Where are the answers going to come from? I wanted JT Realmuto to get a day off. He looks like he needs a day off. He is the forkball. I was like, oh, the forkball has really got him off. And then I realized, well, even before the forkball, there's 10 games and some big struggles. And then last night, and again, pretty terrible. Chasing balls out of the zone, chasing changeups, lunging at changeups that are dying right at the start of the plate. It is just, it's been bad. So he looked like he needs a day off. Rob Thompson, good for him. He noticed that. He's going to give him a day off. Unfortunately, that day off didn't do much for Trey Turner. I hope it does more for JT Realmuto. But I don't see anything I'm looking at right now with this Phillies team that makes me go, oh, they got this. Yeah, they'll be great. Today, Tywell Walker gets started against Max Scherzer. I know people are looking at Max Scherzer's ERA and going, well, that's not really a Max Scherzer-esque ERA. And you know what? You're right to think that. But I believe it was three or four starts ago, he allowed six runs against his old team, the Detroit Tigers. So that kind of ballooned his ERA. So that's the only reason it's at where it's at right now, which is 3.54. So it's still pretty good. Over his last couple of starts, Max Scherzer has been lights out, allowing just two runs in his last three starts. So, don't be fooled by the numbers. I know numbers never lie, but they do deceive. This is a number that does deceive. His last three starts, two earned runs. He's gone at least five innings in both, and his strikeouts have still been pretty good. So, So doesn't get any easier for the Phillies. Carlos Carrasco was supposed to be easier. He wasn't, unfortunately. I had this thought last night during the postgame show. I was like, do I do some kind of fun thing with this? Like, do I see who still believes this team's going to be a playoff team? Because, like, even me, and I consider myself to be pretty optimistic. And look, here's the most optimistic thing we got. Ready? We don't know. They still got to play the rest of the season. It's not like, oh, well, the playoffs start June 1st. They're out. No. Still got a long way to go. Yes, they have time. Yes, these guys have played better baseball than what we have seen historically in their careers. Trey Turner, I'm looking at you. There's the most optimistic thing. There's a lot of time left in the season. It's not early, but there's also still a lot of time left. There we go. There's the most optimistic thing I can tell you. You're welcome. And I don't think Trey Turner is going to hit 207 in the month of June. I'm going to go ahead and make a very bold prediction that Trey Turner is going to bat over 207 in the month of June. There we go. All right. Worth every penny of $300 million. There. That's where I'm at right now. Before I switch to the Eagles, let me put a bow on this because I mentioned it at the top of the show. Scott Rolen is making it into the Phillies Wall of Fame. Let me go through the last couple of months of my thoughts of Scott Rolen. Not that I thought of him often, but Scott Rolen gets inducted to baseball's Hall of Fame. I don't think of Scott Rolen as a Hall of Famer. I think of him as an incredible Gold Glove third baseman. I think of him as a guy I wish never left Philadelphia. Think about this. Scott Rolen could have been on the 2008 World Series champion team. Like, age-wise, he could have been on that team. He could have been. Think of that infield. Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Scott Rolen. Think about that. You had Pedro Feliz. Fine. Just think about that. Scott Rolen could have still been around for that team. And he played long after that. but he could have been your third baseman on that team. I loved Scott Rolen. I've told you guys multiple times that that 2001 Phillies team that lost like that lost the division by 2.5 games to the Atlanta Braves. They were such a good baseball team. If you remember, like Mike Lieberthal got hurt in early in the year. I know I'm talking about something that was 22 years ago, but like I just loved that team. That was the first team since the 93 team that I can remember going into school and being like, did you guys see the Phillies? And then people were like, yeah, I saw the Phillies. That was incredible, that game. Like, people actually watched, you know. Bobby Abreu, Doug Glanville. That was an incredible team. And I remember Scott Rolen that year was just as good as ever at third base. He was hitting bombs for you as a power-hitting third baseman. His average was good that year, I remember. That team was just a lot of fun to watch, and he was a lot of fun to watch at third base. And in the cup, but with Larry Boa as the manager, that team obviously did not. They ended up not making the playoffs. And watching Scott Rolen that year, I just remember this guy's incredible. Like, I hope years to come, he's still young. For even that, and I remember one of my best friends hated him at the time, just hated the guy. And I still loved him. I thought he was great. And then he got pissed with the way fans got on him. Fans got more pissed at what he said about fans and how it's hard to win here. And people really turned on him right there. I didn't care so much about that at the time. I wanted those guys to always bust it. He lollygagged it down the first baseline a number of times. I remember being in a game, and I was thinking, why the hell is he not getting out of the box? Get out of the box! And I know that really started this downward spiral with Scott Rolen. But I always really liked the guy. I always thought he was a great player. With all that being said, I never thought, oh, Scott Rolen, Hall of Famer. So he's in the Hall of Fame now. He's going to get in the Hall of Fame, rather. And these are always controversial things, but Scott Rolen is going to get inducted to the Phillies Wall of Fame. People hate Scott Rolen here. Scott Rolen came back to Philadelphia with the St. Louis Cardinals. He fouled a ball off, and they threw the foul ball back onto the field. It was a nationally televised game. And they're at Citizens Bank Park. He comes back to Philadelphia, and they throw his foul ball back onto the field. It's like, we don't even want your foul ball, bro. And now that guy is going to be not only in the Hall of Fame, but he's going to have his own ceremony. He's going to have his own day at Citizens Bank Park. What kind of reception? Is Scott Rolen going to get cheered? I don't think Scott Rolen's going to get cheered. I think Scott Rolen's going to get booed. You know what's going to happen? I think he's going to acknowledge it. How can you not acknowledge it? I think he's going to talk about it. I know we haven't had the best of times. I know that when it comes to my playing career here and my playing career going elsewhere and then coming back to Philadelphia, I haven't exactly got the warmest receptions. But man, oh my goodness. I don't think that's going to go well for us, unfortunately, when Scott Rolen gets inducted into the Philly or put on the Phillies Wall of Fame. Have a lot of players gotten booed while they've been putting their own like Ring of Honor or in this case, Wall of Fame? Because if Scott Rolen, here's the only thing that I think is going to make us actually cheer Scott Rolen. We know it'll be national news. It'll be the latest feather in the cap, and there's a lot of feathers, unfortunately, of people that really want to rip Philadelphia. But when I saw that, I thought, oh, he's going to get booed. They're going to give him the podium. They're going to give him a microphone. They're going to put him there on the infield on stage. Oh, he's going to get booed. And you know what's going to happen the next day on SportsCenter? That night on SportsCenter? You know what's going to happen on Twitter, on all social media platforms? Look at Philadelphia booing their own guy. That's the only thing that I think will make people go, oh, maybe we should boo him because we just know it's going to be national headlines. And do we really want to hear it? Are you booing or cheering Scott Rolen on Wall of Fame induction day? Also, what are your lasting memories of Scott Rolen? Because I try to just think about the guy that I watched play a phenomenal third base. And I remember talking, Ricky Vitalico, as a matter of fact, I remember talking to him about how, because he was teammates with Scott Rolen, and he said, my ERA would have been at least a full run higher if Scott Rolen wasn't at third base. One hell of a third baseman. One hell of a third baseman. That 2000 year, let me see if I can get that for you guys real quick, because that 2000 year was just so much damn fun watching that team play baseball. Especially Scott Rolen in particular. Man, he did bounce around. In 2008, he would have been 33 years old, playing at third base for the Phillies. Not his best season. He only had 262, but still a 349 on base percentage. But in 2001, get this for you, Scott Rolen, 289 batting average, 378 on base percentage, hit 25 home runs for you that year, and he was just 26 years old. He won he was the rookie of the year, not that year, but he was a rookie of the year. Won one of his 8 gold gloves at third base. When was his last? I remember him winning a gold glove award late in his career. 35 years old with Cincinnati. He was an all-star and a gold glove winner at 35 years old. And at 36, he was an all-star again. Good Lord. What a... yeah, 8-time gold glove. Did win the World Series with the Cardinals. I know, and I was with you guys, by the way. When he said in St. Louis, what's it like going to St. Louis? He said, it's baseball heaven. When he got traded here. One story I'll tell you, and this is more about Harry Callis than it is Scott Rolen. But the first time I met Harry Callis, I was one-on-one with him, and we were sitting at Chickies and Pete's. He's getting ready to do a TV show that I was working on. And he was just sitting there. Harry Callis, folks, was sitting alone at the bar, okay, at Chickies and Pete's in the back room in South Philly. And I thought, go talk to Harry Callis. And I just went over and I sat down next to him, and it was just as you would imagine. It was like talking to somebody you knew your whole life. He talked to you like he knew you your whole life, you know. And the funny thing I remember is I didn't want to talk baseball with him because I didn't want to annoy him with something like that. And then he brought up baseball. And I remember two things I said to him, a stupid question. I was like 22 years old, and I was like, so what's Harry Callis doing when he's not, you know, calling games on? And he was like, well, I used to be a big drinker. I remember Harry Callis said that. The funny thing was he was having a beer, and then he goes, this here is just an O'Doul's. And I saw the bottle next to it. It was an O'Doul's. He was drinking a non-alcoholic beer. So whatever. So I'm sitting there with him. This is a low in conversation. And then he goes, you know, I have to say Willie Mays is the greatest ball player I'd ever seen. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to talk baseball. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, yeah? Like a kid, you know, gathering around a fire with his grandfather. Tell me more stories, Pa. And he was just talking about Willie Mays, and Scott Rolen came up in the conversation. He was since traded. And I said, you know, I said, Harry, I was at the vet when they honored you and Whitey with the bobblehead. And I'll never forget you guys, you know, the reception that you guys got and how loved you were. And I remember Darren Dalton, I think, was playing the role of Whitey. Right. They had like a little performance at Veterans Stadium. It was the craziest thing. And I remember they got a convertible to drive Harry Callis around the stadium for like a victory lap when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I remember Scott Rolen, they were playing the Cardinals. And I remember Scott Rolen at the end of the ceremony when they gave their speeches. Harry Callis was given his wave to the crowd, and they're going to drive him around. He hugs Darren Dalton. He hugs the Phillies. He hugged Larry Boa. And then he comes over towards the convertible. And out of the Cardinals dugout comes Scott Rolen. And Harry Callis throws this huge hug on Scott Rolen. Scott Rolen throws a huge hug on him. And he opens the door. Scott Rolen opens the door to the convertible for Harry Callis. And the boos rained down during Harry Callis' Hall of Fame day at the Veterans Stadium. And anyway, fast forward a couple years. And, you know, by the way, Harry Callis gets in the car and he drives around. It was beautiful. But fast forward a couple years, I'm sitting at this bar talking to Harry Callis, and Harry Callis brings up that moment. And he goes, you know, Scott knew he was going to hear it from the crowd, and he just thought, so what? And, It was a special moment between those two that were great friends, that were great friends. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out here in Philadelphia with Scott Rolen being here. But it worked out later with the Phillies winning the World Series without him anyway. So it is what it is. And going on to have their like greatest stretch in their history. But I remember Harry Callis talking about Scott Rolen, just saying how he wished that trade never had to happen. And he loved Placido Polanco and he thought he was a hell of a ball player. But, you know, would have loved to seen it work out here with Scott Rolen. And unfortunately, it just wasn't the case. And then 3 years after that conversation, the Phillies won the World Series. And Harry Callis called them world champions. But, yeah, little thing on Scott Rolen and Harry Callis there. So, I don't know if you guys think of Scott Rolen, A, as a Hall of Famer in general. I don't know. I know. Look, Wall of Famer, probably. But I'm curious to see the reception that he ends up getting at Citizens Bank Park. Now let's get to football. DeAndre Hopkins. He's one of the most amazing wide receivers I have ever seen. I have been in the stadium where he has made numerous one-handed catches and wowed the crowd, and I still think he has got a lot left in the tank. I had talked about the idea of him coming out here when the story came out from him being on the I Am an Athlete podcast, saying how Jalen Hurts is a quarterback that he would love to play with. I said, if you're trading for him, no. If he's a free agent, if he gets released, then yeah, let's have a conversation. I have gone back and forth on this over the last week. And what I have decided is something that I still can't believe. I don't want him. I know that he would be incredible. I know that he would be a great addition. I know that he would make Devontae Smith your third wide receiver. Like we were talking about Zacchaeus and Quez Watkins as your number three guys competing for that spot. And now we're talking about, oh yeah, forget. Nope. Those guys are out. Like now you have Devontae Smith. Now you have Hopkins, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith's your 1, 2, 3. What? Even AJ Brown as your number two is incredible. Oh, and you also have Dallas Goedert. Oh, and you just got DeAndre Swift. Oh, and you might get something from Rashad Penny. And Kenny Gainwell is a pretty good running back. Oh, wow. Yes, those are all-star team. That's an all-star team. That's a Pro Bowl team. Miles Sanders going into last year talking about it feels like we got an all-star team. And people were like, yeah, well, they made it to a Super Bowl. Okay, so he wasn't wrong. But there is just, and it's not a culture thing. It's not a chemistry thing. It's a share the ball thing. And then people are like, well, what if somebody goes out? If anybody gets injured, then if anybody gets injured, you're just going to bring DeAndre Hopkins in. If anybody gets injured, you're just going to have AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. If AJ, like, that is such an unbelievable luxury move. It just, look, I don't know what's going to cost you, and I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins is going to be signing for cheap. He might be ring hunting. I don't know. He's over the age of 30. But, man, when it comes to this team, I just don't see it happening. And I think it would. Two things. I don't see it happening, and I don't want it to happen. I know that it might sound like you're overthinking it by saying you don't want the guy because, you know, look what it could offset. I think you already have something great here. And I think, look, if we're talking about, in the same sentence, Bijan Robinson being a luxury pick for the Eagles, this would be a luxury acquisition for the Eagles. I think things are really good on this Eagles offense. They can always be better, certainly. But I don't think that's the move you make. As my allergies start to run wild on me again. But I don't think that's the move they make. I acknowledge that he has a lot left in the tank, but there just seems something so off about the idea of bumping Devontae Smith to your number three. And that doesn't mean that he can't handle it. That doesn't mean that he'd bitch and moan and complain about being there or AJ Brown not being the number one guy. I'm not talking about the culture portion of this. I'm not talking about something that's not tangible. I'm talking about, you already know how well this works. Why would I change it drastically? DeAndre Hopkins would be not horrible, but it would be offsetting to something great you already have. And it feels like it would be a greedy pick. And yes, greed can be really good. A greedy pickup, excuse me. It just doesn't feel like the right move to me. And I wish I could explain it better. Well, what do you mean you're adding a more talent to your roster? Yes, certainly you are. But two things. One, I don't think it's the right move. And two, I don't think it's happening. That's where I'm at on it. That's what I've landed on. Like I've gone around and I thought, well, let's compare this to something like the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think the Kansas City Chiefs have given the opportunity to pick up DeAndre Hopkins? They're going to do that. Yeah, they're going to do that. But I don't think they have it set in stone what the Eagles have set in stone with their wide receiving core already. And that chemistry already built. No matter how many times I think about it, now is what I land on. This is what I land on. Him being a great receiver, but him just being a spoiling pickup for this Eagles offense. And I think it wouldn't lend itself to what we have already seen work at a very high level in Philly. And the people say, well, what about injury? Well, yeah, it's football. So you're just going to go, what? So, okay, go sign Tom Brady. Go peel him away from Raiders ownership and make him your backup quarterback. Because if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, then you know. This doesn't make any sense to me. To me, I know that in Madden, you bring him in. But in the NFL, I don't think you do. I don't think it's the right move. And it's weird to say it out loud, I know, because you'd be adding a phenomenal talent. But I just think it would be over a luxury pick, an over luxury pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. Pick up. God, still in draft mode. So that's where I'm at on that. I know it might sound crazy to some. It's just not for me. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of Bath and Water, right there on Jewelers Row. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, home of the perfect price each and every day, online at iHateStevenSinger.com. That's iHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the great people at Manscaped. Manscaped.com, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and their skin-safe technology that helps you reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. So check out the amazing people at Manscaped and what they have to offer. Manscaped, they offer the Platinum Package 4.0, which is their best hygiene bundle yet. It includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, and yes, they do come with skin-safe technology. So check out Manscaped at Manscaped.com, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped, Manscaped.com. How about the amazing people at Freestone Farm CBD? FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You'll love their tropical-tasting Bayox that clocks into the chart-topping 24.1%, and Super CBD, which is half Hindu, Kush, and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So try Freestone Farm CBD at FreestoneFarmCBD.com. Get 20% off with promo code Farzi. How about the people at PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. Let's get into the chat check. See how you guys are doing on this fine morning. Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, eh? Fuji, good morning to you. Go Sixers. Phillies stink. Pathetic. Thank you, Go Sixers. Hey, whatever happened to Andrew Painter? Still working his way back. Still working. They're optimistic he'll pitch this year. They said that in spring training. It's now June 1st. PJ chiming in on Farzi's show chat there. Size in distress. Size in distressed baseball fan. That's kind of how it feels. Sean Kilrain. Good morning, crew. Go Sixers. Let's go Union. Climbing up the table. Union had a nice win. How about Jim Curtin? I saw the Jim Curtin last night say it's hard. And Jace Kelsey banged the drum. That was pretty awesome. And then chugged a beer and then chucked it up in the air. Saw Jim Curtin talking about how it's tough to win in those Wednesday games. I agree. Sean Gillespie, what's going on? Good morning. Someone has to get fired again. This team needs to get a fire lit under them. Like, I don't, how many times can you fire people to rally the people? To rally the team. I don't get it. I know that the thing is, you talk about professional players shouldn't need anything to motivate them. They should be motivated by their competitive nature and a big fat paycheck. Those are two nice things to motivate people. But sometimes you just get in a funk. This is like a 2-month funk for the Phillies right now. If you're looking for optimism, the only optimism I can give you is, historically speaking, Kyle Schwarber has been better as the season has gone on. Trey Turner's been a better baseball player than this. JT Realmuto's been better than this. Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, they've been better. There we go. That do it for you? No? Still no bueno? Yeah, that's what I thought. Sean Kilrain, Trey, my mom boos at me. Turner will hit 220, Farzi. Let's hope so, because that's still better than 207. Saw an article, this guy Roland isn't... Oh, Sean Kilrain. Saw an article, this guy Roland isn't even going to be there for his introduction. How pathetic. Well, I wouldn't blame him. I did not see that article. I didn't see that article. You see the documentary about the Sixers last night? I did not see that, Sean. I know the Sixers put out an article. I know there's a documentary on the 2001 Sixers. Look, that was an epic season. It'd be hard to mess that up. I will check it out, though. Mi Sanchez, morning all. Who chose to induct Scott Rowland? Did anyone ask him if he wanted to be inducted? Common sense. If he still doesn't care for Philly, why honor him? Will Ben Simmons be in the Sixers Hall of Fame? Yeah, that's a good point. Sean Kilrain, you see the document. Here's what I remember of the 2001 Sixers. Other than the obvious, I remember hating that you needed to trade for Dikembe Mutombo. I loved Theo Ratliff. The Sixers had beaten the Lakers earlier that season with Theo Ratliff as their center. And Theo Ratliff was like the definition of a power forward, more so than he was a typical center, even in the 90s. But in 2001, he was really a defensive shot-blocking specialist center that was just a really tough, strong center. And the Sixers beat the Lakers at home that year. And then I remember at the deadline, Nazi Muhammad, Pepe Sanchez, and Theo Ratliff being traded for Dikembe Mutombo. And I remember hating that it needed to happen because at the time, Theo Ratliff had a wrist injury. And wrist injuries are always tricky coming back with. And I remember that trade going down and hating it, but realizing this is the best thing for the future of the Sixers. And then they have the defensive player of the year in Dikembe Mutombo. They have the sixth man of the year with Aaron McKee. They have the coach of the year in Larry Brown. And then the MVP in Allen Iverson. And I remember the Bucks. I remember the Raptors. I remember going through that playoff game sevens in those two series, winning those game sevens, and then winning game one in overtime against the Lakers and thinking, oh my God, they could really do it. And then Kobe's pretty good at basketball. Shaq's pretty good at basketball. Robert Horry doesn't miss clutch threes. And they lost the next four in a row, and that was the end of that. But I would gladly relive that playoff run because every time I've talked about it into a microphone, I've talked about how that was a party every single night, man. Every single night, you were at somebody's house, pizza and wings, and you were just having the time of your life watching Allen Iverson. But, yeah, I'll watch that documentary. Mi Sanchez, can Cody Clemens play left field? Also, the Phillies 26-29 at this point last year at 25-30. They're already worse. I wanted high hopes. Rest in peace, Harry Callis, the voice of my first 11 years. Isn't that nice? By the way, when I was doing Harry's voice, it wasn't really Harry's voice. It's just his voice in my head. I don't do a good Harry Callis. Let me just acknowledge that. Hopkins isn't coming here to be the third wideout. Agree. I agree, Sean. I 1,000% agree. Ray Fitzgerald, if Rowland would have stayed, could have been one of the greatest infields defensively and offensively along with Howard, Rollins, and Utley. Absolutely. Like, again, like if you're playing Madden in the baseball world, so what are you playing, 2K? I don't know. The show? This isn't the show. But Rowland, Rollins, Utley, Howard, damn. Nothing's getting past that left side of the infield. Nothing's getting past it. You know what's funny? Another thing. I heard Jimmy Rollins once talk about when he played with Roland. One of the things he talked about was how usually the third baseman will see where the shortstop sets up defensively, and then the third baseman will adjust. Rollins adjusted to Roland. Rollins waited for Roland to adjust or to set defensively before Rollins set defensively at shortstop. I always thought that was interesting. Howard. Okay. I see you now. I see you now, Ray. Howard was adequate at first. Yeah. Dan Schwartz. They suck and I hate them. Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Let me jump over to the Jacob Media YouTube channel. What's going on, guys? These guys stink, Farzy, overpaid bums. What's up, Go Sixers? I like how you guys are just jumping chats. Sean Gillespie, we need more help on defense at first. We need more help defensively. The Eagles do. I agree. Chemistry is the key word here. Sean, when people say chemistry, I think they think of off-the-field stuff. But this is a chemistry I'm applying to on the field. Whatever the Eagles are doing offensively, it works. So I don't want to change that too much from what we have going on here with the Eagles. So I acknowledge what a great talent he is. I don't know if I've ever looked at a talent as great as DeAndre Hopkins and go, yeah, I'm good. I'm good at the wide receiver spot. I don't need more. That would be a huge luxury. If the Eagles had A.J. Brown and not Devontae Smith, or Devontae Smith and not A.J. Brown, yeah, then let's have at it. But I think they already have a clear 1 and 1A punch when it comes to their wide receiving core. It's a weird thing. And also, not like no off-the-field drama. With the PED suspension last year, but it's not like this is the guy that we have to worry about some moral code. It's not like that. This is just a really talented wide receiver that has plenty left in the tank that I just don't think I'm good on. I think I'm good on. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. Thank you very much. Let's get to the morning rush. Brought to you by Sky Motor Cars, skymotorcars.com. Let's start it off with the NBA Finals, tipping off tonight in Denver. Game one, Heat and Nuggets, 8:30 tip-off. Denver is a 9-point favorite to lead things off on ABC tonight. I do like the Nuggets. I think this is but here's what I'm curious to see. I like the Nuggets winning the series. I like the Nuggets in six. But two things I'm really looking forward to seeing, and I know other people, especially Philadelphia sports fans, are not looking forward to this. I want to see Jimmy Butler on this stage. I really look forward to seeing Jimmy Butler on this stage. I also look forward to seeing Bam Adebayo versus Nikola Jokic, because they are just so drastically different players, but they're both great centers. Jokic obviously having the edge there, but I just want to see how that goes. Like I just mentioned Theo Ratliff. When I watch Bam Adebayo, I'm reminded of Theo Ratliff. Bam's a better player offensively, without question, but in terms of style in which they play defense, I think he's a very similar player to Theo Ratliff, and I want to see how this matchup goes tonight. So that's an 8:30 start time tonight. Phillies are back at it. 105 this afternoon. You got Taijuan Walker on the hill for the Phillies. He'll be taking on Max Scherzer, as I mentioned earlier. I want to see Taijuan Walker just have a consistent start for the Phillies. That's what I want to see from Taijuan Walker, because he has not been able to put decent starts together for himself this season with the Phillies. He's been a far cry from it. Even in his last start, he allowed 3 earned runs over 6 2/3. It was against the Braves. They did win that game, so offense was able to pick him up. He went 5 1/3 in his previous start, scoreless innings. That was against the Cubs. So two good starts, not great starts, but two good starts put back-to-back for Taijuan Walker. Why not make it 3 in a row? It's been a very difficult thing for him to have back-to-back good starts. Let's make it 3 in a row. Decent starts to good starts for Taijuan Walker. And Garrett Stubbs is going to be in your lineup tonight. One thing I look forward to with Garrett Stubbs, and this is what Rob Thompson always refers to him as, he's just a ball player, man. He'll bunt to get on base. He'll play. He'll have good at bats. He'll be heads up, obviously, behind the plate, and he'll call a good game for Taijuan Walker. So let's just get that from the catcher position today and cross our fingers. Maybe Alec Bohm will be back in the lineup with that hamstring injury that's been bugging him, unfortunately. That's what I got for you guys today. I'll be back with you guys today, this afternoon, after the Phillies game on the Jacob Media YouTube channel, talking all things Phillies. And I'll be back with you guys again tomorrow morning on a Friday morning. Today's already Thursday. Memorial Day was Monday. Shorter week this week, as we know. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Be back with you guys after the Phillies game today on the Jacob Media YouTube channel for Phillies postgame show. And then back with you guys again tomorrow morning, of course, to round out the week. Jim Hyde produced the program, did a wonderful job as per usual. This has been the Farzee Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price, perfect price, online at ihstevensinger.com. Be back with you guys later today and then tomorrow. See you guys soon. Bye. We'll be right back.